All right, well, let's begin. Lord, thank you for this opportunity we have again to look at your word, just look at principles from your word. And Lord, would you, in this final lesson on gratitude, Lord, help us to just gain what you would have for us. And would you bless this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let me mention we have a new study starting next week. We do that in the fall, and so we are going to go use a book again. And it's, I think it's helpful because you can then go back over, keep what you have gained from that. And the title of the book is A Woman's High Calling. It's a study of the qualities of a godly woman in Titus chapter 2, and that's always a great study. And that's Elizabeth George's book, A Woman's High Calling. So we'll have those available, what, by next week? Should be here by next week so that you can follow along. And a little bit different direction. This is more of an expositional study that'll cover a lot of different angles of the Christian life. As you know, Titus 2 does not just cover a woman. It does speak of young women, older women. Same thing, older men, young men. So it's a very comprehensive passage that ends up with the fact that God's grace is available to all of us. It's a wonderful passage. So we'll go into some of the background in detail next week, so I trust you can be with us as we get that study started. Well, we have been through the latter part of the summer looking at the subject of gratitude and looking at the fact that this is not a nice little add-on to our Christian life. It should be core to our Christian life. In fact, it really does, number one, evidence the fact we're walking with God and have the right attitude. Secondly, gratitude itself affects our spiritual life. In other words, it has the decision to have gratitude by the Spirit of God is really life transforming, as we're going to see today. We looked at the matter of guilt, grace, and then gratitude, and how when we're self-absorbed with our own faults and failings and are not having victory and having grace, we're not going to be having much gratitude. We're going to be very self-focused. And we live in a self-focused day, don't we? It's really amazing. It seems like it's gotten worse and worse. And with technology, people can live in their own little lonely world and be very absorbed with themselves. So it's a very important point, and I appreciate Nancy Lee DeMoss-Wolgemuth's emphasis here in this book. She starts with a story about a Hungarian man went to a rabbi, and he was complaining that life was unbearable. And there are nine of us living in one room. What can I do? Well, the rabbi answered, take your goat into the room with you. The man looked back at him as if he certainly misunderstood him, but he hadn't. The rabbi insisted, do as I say. And by the way, when rabbis tell their Hungarian Jewish constituency to do it, they do it. But the man says, didn't understand it. Well, anyway, 7 days later, the man returned looking more distraught than before. We can't stand it. The goat is filthy. Well, then go home and let the goat out, the rabbi said. Come back again in a week. It was a radiant Hungarian who returned to the rabbi the following week. His whole demeanor spelled relief and refreshment. How are you now? The rabbi said. Ah, life is beautiful, the man answered. We enjoy every minute now that there's no longer any goat, only nine of us. It's a humorous story, but that really is a very illustrative of that change of attitude and how we view our circumstances. One of the things you'll find, another subject that runs with gratitude, is contentment. Be content with such things as you have. Looking at life from what you have, not what you don't have. Looking at what God has done for you rather than what needs to be done. And so it's all how you look at it. It's a matter of attitude. For several decades, they've had in the in the counseling world what's called an attitudinal change. You've heard that terminology. And so she suggests that we have a gratitudinal change. Which is an attitudinal change, and that is very, very important. So let's look at this matter here in this concluding chapter on the fact that change is very important. Gratitude doesn't just happen and you're now a person that has gratitude. It is a transformational process. Just the whole Christian life is. And it is impossible without the Spirit of God. But it is one of those spiritual disciplines that you have to be honest with yourself and continually check the wrong spirit. Now, let me just say, during this time we've looked at gratitude, maybe you've read the book. Have you had times you've not been grateful? Yeah, we slip into the default position. But did you know, just like with other aspects of your life, that you can begin to have a change of perspective? That your default position is to look to the Lord for a right attitude rather than falling into the wrong attitude. And that's what she's trying to say in this chapter here in conclusion. Don't just expect to go, you know, off and off. She says, you know, don't read this, get stirred about it, and just move on with life. This is core. This is important. It's going to change everything. It's going to affect your relationships. And so you need to, and I need to, be absolutely transformed in this matter of gratitude. It needs to mark who we are. In fact, one of your goals ought to be that when you're thought of as a very thankful, grateful person, that people think of you in that light. And that's a good question to ask yourself. Do people think of you as a grateful, thankful person? And she's really emphasizing the fact that we need to be very purposeful on a regular basis of checking ourselves in this matter of our gratitude. So she gives some key points here in conclusion. Very basic, but very important. Number one, surrender your rights to God. When you surrender your rights to God, then you're not going to be holding on to things that you think you ought to have, and you're not going to be bitter about things that God has allowed because you have surrendered yourself to the Lord. She quotes from the late Bible teacher Russell Kelfer, "Having been born into the kingdom of God, I do hereby acknowledge that God's purchase of my life included all the rights and control of that life for all eternity. I do further acknowledge that He has not guaranteed me to be free from pain or to have success or prosperity. He has not guaranteed me perfect health. He has not guaranteed me perfect parents. He has not guaranteed me perfect children. He has not guaranteed me the absence of pressures, trials, misunderstandings, or persecution. What He has promised to me is eternal life. What He has promised to me is abundant life. What He has promised to me is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, meekness, and self-control. He has given me all of Himself in exchange for the rights to my life. Therefore, I acknowledge this day the relinquishment of all my rights and expectations and humbly ask Him by His grace to replace these with a grateful spirit for whatever in His wisdom He deems to allow for my life." It's a great statement. And it's one that, you know, that you sign. That's how this author had given it. You know, we'd have quite a difference of our days if we started every day that way. Lord, you deserve me. You paid for me. And you haven't guaranteed me that things are going to be in the human realm perfectly easy, because God uses trials, obviously, in our life. But you've given me eternal life, abundant life, the fruit of the Spirit. Folks, we have everything that we need. And so that is very important. And let me just ask, are you in the habit of surrendering your rights to the Lord? That's a good habit. If you have a prayer journal, if you have some kind of list that you go through, you ought to write that right at the top. Surrender my rights to God. I am His. What He does with me today is fine. I will accept it. I will rejoice in it. I will be grateful for it. If you'll write that down and you do that on a regular basis, it will become embedded into you. And you have such relief in your soul, and your attitude toward God will be so much better. You got to remember, your very life is His. He created you. He saved you if you know Christ as your Savior. everything you have around you. Don't we live in a beautiful world, even as cursed as it is? I just think of all the things that we have. Recently, knowing fall is coming and winter soon behind, I've been enjoying all the little wildflowers. You know, when I'm out walking, they seem to be very prevalent right now. And, you know, every one I was there, I don't know what kind of a flower it is, but it's a well-developed purple-type flower with a, I don't know, anyway, I'm sure many of you don't know what it was, but I just looked at that and I thought, how can you not believe that there is a creator? I mean, just that one flower itself is amazing, but the beauty of it. And so God's given us freely all things to enjoy. You know, all your stuff is His. He gave you the strength to be able to get it, to earn it, whatever. And on you can go. It's very good to look around. It's not my house, not my car, it's not my life. This is not my world, it's God's, and He's given me all of this. Instead of, I need this, I need that, this is not fair, you know, that's really where we can go. So surrendering your rights to God, you can see that's not such a simple thing. And that really needs to be a daily habit, that you get into a place where He is Lord. You can live in a constant state of revival if you have that attitude. You can have the Spirit of God's refreshment, His empowering, His encouragement, His leadership, the sense of His presence if you surrender everything. The big problem is we're our own God. And those that are our own, are their own God, are not grateful people. All right, secondly, this is very interesting, very practical points that she's giving here, is commit to a set season of gratitude. We are not in the habit of that. And as you know, it takes several weeks to start a new habit, just humanly speaking. Now, this is obviously a divinely empowered transformational habit that is needed, but it still is a series of decisions of your will. And she very strongly says it's important to set aside some plan to where you're going to stay conscious of that in a very unusual way for a period of several weeks. And I think that's very, very true. Anything you want to add to your life, you've got to make that a major focus. You've got to be accountable about it to somebody else. You've got to have a way to measure it. And you've got to not allow any exceptions over the period of time you're trying to develop the habit. Remember, any habit you're developing, you're breaking an old habit. That could be from the simplest thing of getting up at a certain time in the morning to this is a little more complicated because you've got wrong attitude habits. You've got wrong response habits. So you've got to be aware of those and then counteract that by the grace of God with a thankful, grateful spirit. So I think that is a great idea. In the back of the book, if you happen to get the book, there is a 30-day devotional back there that is designed to give you that 30 days of purposeful habit making on gratitude. So if you do have the book, might be a great time to say, all right, you know, middle of September to the middle of October, I'm going to concentrate on this. I don't want to be the same person. You know, I had the opportunity to hear a few of these lessons, and I have the book here, and this is core, and I need to have it in my life. I want to be known as a grateful person. I want to show my faith by having a right attitude toward God. Well, then I'm going to take the time to do it. So anyway, you can look that over if you have it, and we have a few more of the books if you'd like to grab one of those. But or you can get your diary, your prayer journal, and get 30 days. Now, one thing that we're going to give to everyone in just a week is our love, being loved, accepted, extended. That's our theme for this ministry year, and we're going to have a 365-page flip chart devotional type thing where you have a verse to meditate on about how much the Lord loves you and write that down, and then who does God want you to extend it to that day? The love of God. And you could even maybe take that and add gratitude to it. But whatever, it's good to have a purposeful perspective as far as developing the matter of transformation. Don't make the mistake of thinking that a half-hearted, semi-conscious effort will work. It's a spiritual battle. We are selfish by nature. And to counteract that, to be unselfish and grateful, is an act of God's mercy. It is not in us. Oh, we can have warm and fuzzies and attitude, but to become a truly grateful person when it is not normal to be grateful is a work of God. And so it has to be a decision of faith that is purposeful, that you are going to decide that is going to be something that I'm going to do. I think there are little journals out called Count Your Blessings. You may have seen those. There's the blessing book. And so there's just different ways that you can work on that. But if you have the book, the 30-day challenge, I would encourage you to take. And then, thirdly, take stock of your gratitude accounts. Who should you thank more other than the Lord? Obviously, we need to keep thanking the Lord and having the right attitude, but that should then overflow into thanking others. Who have we not thought to thank? You know, we look so many times at the things that maybe are a little more frustrating in a marriage relationship or with children or with parents or in close relationships that we then forget all the things that people do for us. And I remember when the Lord really started working in my heart as a teenager and I began to grow in the Lord, I began to look at my parents from a thankful spirit, realizing, wow, did I have a blessing here with my parents. And sort of instead of getting frustrated, you know, they weren't perfect, they were close to it, I thought, but anyway, I began to realize I need to thank my mother for her meals. I mean, my laundry. When I went to college, I began to be very grateful for my mother's care of me, folded clothes, you know. That I didn't realize how much time all that took. You know, I would do it every so often. But grateful for the simplest things. And have you been thankful for people in your lives that have cared about you and have been there when you need them? You know, sometimes the Lord will just put it on your heart. You know, you've never thanked them for their faithfulness to you. There may be a very special aunt, maybe very elderly now, that you need to thank because she's always talked about the Lord to you and has shown care, an uncle or, whoever. But people that you have in your life, it is very important to just take stock, as she says, of gratitude accounts. People that have been a spiritual blessing. A coworker that has really helped you. A friend. A small group leader. A prayer partner. There's just so many things that you can thank people for. And also, let me say this. It opens the door for the gospel. Sometimes, and I appreciate it, I know some of you, even with your postal worker, to show thankfulness for their work, and sometimes give a little gift at Christmas time or something like that. Wide open opportunities, or people that you see on a regular basis that help you, neighbors that have gone out of their way. You know, as a family, we're trying to reach, but the ladies that are helping us with my mother-in-law happened to be walking, and I was walking back in the morning, just going out, and they saw their two dogs were out loose, and they weren't ones that are normally contained within the yard, you know. And somehow the door had gotten open, and people weren't there, and I don't know what all happened, but I told the ladies, I said, let's go see if the leashes are at the door. Sometimes they'll have them so they can go out. And sure enough, there they were, and they were able to tie them up without going in the house. And so then we texted the family, let them know that the dogs were on leash but had been out free. Well, very next day there was a nice gift and a thank you note from the family. You know, that was very gracious of their part, and it meant, you know, it really wasn't all that much effort for us, but you know, your dog's important, and you know on a busy road that they could have a problem. So it is so important for us to get into the habit of showing gratitude to to folks. And so think about maybe some people, and it could be a great blessing too. You could really be encourage someone. Just the other day, a man was, a pastor wrote me. He wrote me a handwritten note. And it's a pastor I know somewhat well. He is, I serve on a board with him. And, he wrote and just said, I just wanted to tell you that our staff was meeting the other day, and we were talking about all the BCM, Baptist College of Ministry missionaries that we've had in recent days, and how, said, I just want you to know what their lives are like, and they exhibit the humility and the power of God in their lives. And he said, their missions philosophy, he said, we're greatly encouraged. He said, send us as many as you have. And he just said, please keep on doing this kind of work. Well, that meant a lot. He didn't have to do that. There was nothing to gain from that. But it did encourage me. We were just starting the school year, and it gave me a whole new, this is really worth it to see that. We've got some of our people on deputation here, Stalls and the Allens and your ministry. In fact, one of the best promotions for BCM right now are our missionaries out on deputation, so I appreciate that. Everywhere I go, I hear good reports about our missionaries. But just that thank you note, I'm just giving you an example. It means a lot, and your thank you notes meant a lot, and I appreciate that. And so I think, you know, we ought to get back. Now, there's nothing wrong with the text, thank you, that's good, and an email, thank you. But I have found that writing, if I can do it, some people don't know how to write anymore. It's amazing. They don't even teach that in a lot of schools. But those are thoughts that she had. So it's important to really care. She gave an illustration I thought was very interesting. Close friends of theirs had a 29-year-old son that got into a car wreck. And for 2 weeks, his survival was very tenuous. And if he did survive, it looked like he was going to have serious long-term impairment. The whole thing was terrible. And lots of prayer went out, and people that knew him. And well, God miraculously intervened. He not only lived, but he didn't have any major impairments. And was going to walk away in a few weeks, and was in the car going home. And they were just rejoicing. And so the son had been a little bit drifting, as we heard preached last night. By the way, you ought to hear Morris Gleiser tonight at 7, tomorrow night 7:30. He is really a blessing. That was a great blessing last night, and a wonderful evangelist. But he talked about drifting, and he had been drifting in his faith and had pushed the limits of rebellion. And he was sitting in the back seat and asked his parents to tell him what happened on the night of the accident, because he couldn't remember, and in the days following, because he couldn't remember. He was in a coma. And so through tears of traumatic remembrance, they shared how they had first heard the news, how they had rushed down to be with him, how they rallied prayer support by phone as they hurtled along the highway. They told how his sister and two brothers had lain prostrate over his unconscious body for entire nights at a time, crying out to God to spare his life. They told of friends who had dropped everything and traveled great distances to be there by his bedside, offering every practical and spiritual service imaginable during this time of reeling emotion. Suddenly, the front seat report was cut off as Jeff broke into uncontrollable sobbing. Overcome by what God had done, what his family had been through, what so many had sacrificed, it was too much for him to hold it any longer. Although he had done nothing to deserve this kind of concern, he had been the recipient of outpouring of grace and love that was freely given. He reached for his phone and began to call his relatives on the trip back home, thanking each one of them for what they did. Then he asked, could we go into Walmart? They wheeled him into Walmart. He bought thank you notes and gifts. And then he got home, he had all these cards and all kinds of things that people had given, which he hadn't even hardly seen because of what he had been through. And he eventually wrote more than 100 notes to those who had been part of his recovery, and was especially thankful for his spiritual restoration. And grace had just come like a refreshing stream. But for him, that was his way of communicating, this is what God's done for me through you. And just a great illustration of how important it is for us to not forget those that have had a part in our lives. And so she calls this going gratitudinal and living that kind of way. And one other suggestion she gives in closing here is do things together. You know, it doesn't hurt to have a Bible study all decide. We're going to have several weeks of just focusing and talking to each other about how we're doing with gratitude. Sometimes it's a great family several week challenge for a family altar. Talk about it. Speak on it. Have projects about it, because children need to develop that habit early on. The earlier on, don't you appreciate a child that's genuinely grateful? You don't see that a lot, but it is refreshing, and you know that child has a good chance of doing very well because it's such a key aspect in their life. Maybe other groups that you're involved in, but sometimes doing it as a group can be a great encouragement, and you can help one another and work on that together. So, as she said at the beginning, the whole world looks different when you look at it through gratitude-colored glasses. Let me ask you just right now, did you come in a little bit, or are you really thankful this morning? It's a choice of the will. It's not circumstances. Some of you come in with some burdens. Some of you have come in with things not going well. You got to figure out some things today. Some of you are just naturally grateful today because it's a good day. Things are going well. That's wonderful. But did you thank God for it? Sometimes we take that for granted. But let's just decide right now, even before you have a chance to fellowship with one another, you're going to have that attitude change, that God knows what He's doing. He's allowed these circumstances. I'm okay. I've got abounding life. I've got the fruit of the Spirit is what the Spirit of God will do. God knows what He's doing. And we need to just to be encouraged. And let me say, too, ladies, don't get into this really frustrated attitude about what's happening in our country. And frankly, it's not just our country. What's scary is it's the whole world. But it is just the ugly head of Satan showing itself. The Bible is true. First of all, you ought to be grateful. I've got the Word of God. It tells me all this. I'm not shocked by what's going on. And secondly, anytime we get upset, it's usually because our life isn't going to be the way we want it to be. Did it ever occur to you this may be the greatest opportunity we've ever had to serve the Lord? I'm sure it's going to be. I can tell you right now, when we, with all of our new students and with even the high school students and our different ministry to them this last week, I have not seen such a serious perspective on life. They are listening to everything we are saying. They know that their life is not going to be the same as their parents. Is that turning out bad? Well, the kids that get bitter, yes, but for most kids that have a heart for God, this is really a refreshing change in their lives. They're not just living an empty-headed existence on the basis of feeling. So this, we just need to have gratitude. You say, well, what happens if I lose some of my retirement or thing? God has promised He'll not let you. He's never let His own go hungry. He knows where you are. He knows what you're doing. He understands the circumstances. And I'm telling you, if we have to go through some hard times, you will have a better quality of life than you've ever had, because you'll be walking with God more than you've ever had. So we have nothing to fear. And so I want us to be very careful about living with any kind of an ominous negative perspective. So let's have that kind of attitude, and let's counteract. Probably the most ungrateful generation in the history of our country has been this generation, because we've had everything easy, and we just expect it to be that way, and we get upset if it's not. But as believers, we need to counteract that and let God work. So gratitude is a Spirit-empowered attitude that is a choice of the will by faith to look at things from a divine perspective.